Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this day. It is indeed the day the Lord has made, and not just because the sun has come out. It is the day the Lord has made even when it's raining, even when it's cloudy, even when there's far more lightning than I've ever seen in Scotland in one night. It is still the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, not just because we live in a beautiful place, but because we have the chance today to gather together, to give thanks to our God who loves us, to learn and listen to our holy scriptures, and to come closer as a community, as a family of God. And what a wonderful thing that is. So let us rejoice and bring ourselves close to our Savior who welcomes all who trust in Him. Let us begin our time of worship by singing together our first hymn, number 560, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. To invite our scripture reader to come forward now.
Today's scripture reading is Acts 4, 1 through 22. This can be found on page 151 in the Pew Bible. Peter and John before the council. Peter and John were still speaking to the people when some priest, the officer in charge of the temple guards, and some Sadducees arrived. They were annoyed because the two apostles were teaching the people that Jesus had risen from death, which proved that dead will rise to life. So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day, since it was already late. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the Jewish leaders, the elders, and the teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. They met with the high priestess Annas and with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others who belonged to the high priest's family. They made the apostles stand before them and asked them, "How did you do this? What power do you have, or what power have you got, or whose name did you use?" Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today about what the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that this man stands here before you, completely well through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is the one of whom the scripture says, 'The stone that you, the builders, despised, turned out to be the most important of all.' Salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us." The members of the council were amazed to see how bold Peter and John were and to learn that they were ordinary men of no education. They realized then that they had been companions of Jesus, but there was nothing that they could say because they saw the man who had been healed standing there with Peter and John. So they told them to leave the council room, and then they started discussing among themselves. "What shall we do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone in Jerusalem knows that this extraordinary miracle has been performed by them, and we cannot deny it. But to keep this matter from spreading any further among the people, let us warn these men never again to speak to anyone in the name of Jesus." So they called them back in and told them that on no condition were they to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "You yourselves judge which is right in God's sight, to obey you or to obey God. For we cannot stop speaking of what we ourselves have seen and heard." So the council warned them that even more strongly and then set them free. They saw it was impossible to punish them because the people were all praising God for what had happened. The man on whom this miracle of healing had performed was over 40 years old. Let us continue worship by singing "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me," 554.
As we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading, let us first offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, We ask that you would bless us in this time and space, that as we reflect on your holy scriptures, it would be your message that is brought to us this day. Help us to be inspired and transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, this day and evermore. Amen. Friends, as I said last week, we're going to be walking through the book of Acts together this summer. We're going to be covering lots of different stories, and I would say about half of them are very long speeches. And so I am going to do my best to try and cut those speeches shorter, but some of them are going to be on the longer side because you can only get rid of so much critical information when trying to make a sermon. Our scripture today is a continuation of last week's story. Peter and John were traveling into the temple courts. Then Peter healed a man born lame in the name of Jesus. Peter then began to preach in the temple courts, and we are told the result is that the believers grow from 3,000 to 5,000 believers in just one day. Peter and John are then put in jail by the Sanhedrin and are kept overnight so a trial could be held in the morning. The people who imprison Peter and John are the ones who are responsible for religious oversight in Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin would have been the name for the sort of ruling council and would have consisted primarily of Sadducees and Pharisees. These are two separate religious sects who would have been teachers of the law and who would have been the ones to enforce and uphold religious laws as well. For this group of individuals, Peter and John's presence would have been a problem. They would have seen them as potential blasphemers or maybe even heretics, teaching people incorrectly. From the Sanhedrin's perspective, their response makes perfect sense. Peter and John are two uneducated men talking about religion with authority, speaking about resurrection to new life found in a denounced criminal who was executed months ago. But these Sanhedrin are not as unified as the initial arrest would have told you, because the Sadducees and Pharisees have one major issue of disagreement, among others, in their Jewish faith. We are told in Luke 20 and Acts 23 that the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection of any kind, but the Pharisees do believe there is a resurrection of the dead at the end of time. So we have a split council. There are those who would condemn the disciples for their faith incorrectly taught, and those who are curious about how the resurrection would come from this Jesus of Nazareth. Peter and John meet with the high priest and others in positions of power, and the first question is, by what power or what name did you heal this man? Peter and John are in a tough situation here because they are men who are not formally trained in the art of theological combat. They have not received training at the temple to discuss and dispute the scriptures and law. But we are told that in this moment, Peter is filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we hear arguments very similar to the ones that Jesus made time and time again when speaking with these same religious leaders. Firstly, Peter reframes their arrest under the context of being called to account for their act of kindness towards this man born lame, which is true, but ignores the potential heresy. Peter once again tries to re-educate these religious leaders, talking about the name of Jesus, talking about the one whom they crucified. Peter then quotes the scripture saying, "The stone you builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Cornerstone in construction is the stone that is correct no matter what. It is the one stone that is your cardinal direction for how the building should be laid. Jesus, who has been rejected, is now the most important stone and is always correct. The Sanhedrin are stunned to hear this. They were not expecting uneducated, ordinary men to come with scriptures in hand to speak with confidence and authority. They also have this man born lame who is standing on his own two feet to show the truth of their miracle. Luke has done something important in this moment, but it is very subtle, and I think it's worth mentioning. Because what Peter says is he declares that these ruling leaders are the ones who crucified Jesus, which in a literal sense is untrue. Because it is the Roman government that ruled that Jesus committed treason against Rome and was executed by Roman soldiers on the cross. But if we listen to Luke, who is Acts gospel writer as well, Luke's gospel writer and other gospels tell us that Jesus is the one who is turned over to Roman authorities only because of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin are the ones who bribed Judas into betraying Jesus. They are the ones who put him on trial in the middle of the night and then drag him before Pilate saying, "This man has committed crimes against heaven. And if your government would allow it, we would punish him ourselves, but you won't, so you have to do it." And then Rome does the execution on their behalf. In the eyes of Luke, the gospel writer, the Sanhedrin put the Roman government in a position where it is really hard for them to do anything but kill Jesus. There are threats of rebellion, and there is a strong support from those in charge to do this. They might not have been the ones to pull the trigger, but they certainly loaded the gun and handed it to someone who would. So what do these Sanhedrin do with the apostles of the man who they conspired to kill? Well, they're not sure what to do. They can't deny this miracle. Lots of people saw it happen, and many more recognized the lame man walking and dancing on his own two feet. But at the same time, the council can't continue to risk the following of Jesus of Nazareth to grow at such a rapid pace. So they call the disciples back in. They command them not to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John are quick to respond. Which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you, jerks, or to listen to God? Once again, a very difficult point to refute. The disciples continue, "We cannot help speaking about that which we have seen and heard." The Sanhedrin continue to threaten them, but ultimately cannot agree on how to punish them, in large part because of the people praising God for what has been done to heal the man born lame. So they let them go. When I read this story, I am reminded of how far the disciples have come. These same men who used to cause Jesus trouble through their confusion, through their behavior, are now the same men championing the cause of Jesus Christ in such a way that they cannot be stopped by those in power. Through their discussions with Jesus after his resurrection, we are told in Luke 24 that Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures and they finally understood him that time. The disciples are given the blessing of the Holy Spirit. They're given confidence to speak. And they are given power to use the words that Jesus gave them to set the world around them on the right path. These uneducated fishers have finally become fishers of men. This is a moment in our scripture where I feel great pride and joy over the disciples' growth. They're finally beginning to accept their role in the story and are able to make inroads in growing the faith and helping others to understand the saving power of Jesus Christ. It's taken them a few years to understand and to learn from Jesus. It's taken a few divine miracles and blessings of the Holy Spirit. But the disciples are finally coming into their own and are able to lead the church once more. This is a story I think is worth celebrating time and time again. It is a story that I think should give us hope as well. To know that in God's ministry, things take time. It took the disciples years of learning from Jesus directly and blessings of the Holy Spirit itself to give them what they needed to share the faith. It is okay for our own faith journey to take some time as well. This is the nature of how God operates. But as we continue on this path, we should take this story and let it be an inspiration to us that indeed the Holy Spirit walks with us still and that we too will have this moment when one day we can look back and we can see how much we've grown, how far we've come together. And we will have a day when we can celebrate that we are growing in faith, we are growing in knowledge, and we are growing as a church together. It's just going to take us a little time to get there. In the same way that it took the disciples time to make this change, we too will have to take our time in doing it together. But just because something goes at God's pace does not mean that God has forgotten us. Just means that we will have to have patience as we work together towards a brighter future, trusting that Jesus is with us every step of the way. Friends, this is the good news of our scripture reading this morning. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, we ask that you would help us to trust in you. To trust that you are still beside us, helping us to make all things possible. We ask that you would bless us by the power of your Holy Spirit, to know that you are beside us as we continue on our journey, and that someday we would have the clarity of mind to look back and see indeed we have grown and changed. And that you were beside us every step of the way. We ask that you would be with us for all our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, let us close our time of worship by singing together our final hymn, number 363. We have a gospel to proclaim. Friends, whether you depart after our final amens or time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge and benediction when you go. Friends, we have heard the good news of the story of the apostles finally coming into their own, having strength of conviction to speak with clarity, to speak with conviction of scriptures, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And they are beginning to see the fruits of their labors. Let this story serve as inspiration to us, that we can have patience knowing that God is still at work in our lives, and we too will have our day of joy when we can look back and see how much we've grown in our love of God, our knowledge of scriptures, and indeed grown as a family of God together. And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us always.